This is the Thursday evening Bible class with your host, author and Bible teacher, Dr. Victor Matthews. Now in today's lesson, we'll examine praise and the glory of God. This is the eighth in a 10-week series titled, The Biblical Measure of Success. And study notes for this lesson may be downloaded from the website at www.drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org. And now here is Dr. Matthews.
And turn with me to the book of Psalms and Psalm 103. We're working this evening now upon the relationship of praise to the glory of God. This is number 8 in our 10-week series, and next week we'll be working on thanksgiving and its relationship to the glory of God. And then, of course, the last one, number 10, will have to do with some of the biblical warnings related to the glory of God. Now, here in the book of Psalms, and these two very familiar portions, we have an example of the very thing that we're talking about tonight, an example of praising the Lord. Now, we have some people today who, when you talk to them, about every third sentence is praise the Lord. I want to tell you, I'm not talking about that. Now, I grant that many times we ought to say to one another, praise the Lord, but not just something to fill up the conversation, as you know, something that would be a response to that which has happened, or some comment that has been made. I think we need to be very free about doing that. Notice what David says about that in Psalm 103. I'd like you to look along as I read these verses. He states in Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, isn't it interesting that he's talking to himself here? He tells himself to bless the Lord. In other words, he's reminding himself of some of the most important things in all of the world in these verses. So he states, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. I'll talk about that later tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Here's one of the ways that we keep from forgetting his benefits is to bless him for it, to thank him for it. Verse 3 starts to list the benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. You see, of course, what David's doing. He's, as I mentioned, reminding himself of this most important function of the biblical Christian, to praise the Lord, to talk to himself about God, and in doing that, to get caught up in the worship and the adoration and the thanksgiving of which God is worthy. Notice in Psalm 104, we have the same type of a thought, but with a different emphasis. Psalm 104, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not move forever. You see what David is doing here. He is taking time now to praise God for himself. Now, in these two psalms, we have a summary of what it really means to praise God, to be taken up with who he is, to talk to God about himself, to describe his greatness, to express appreciation for the benefits that God has given. Now, all of this is a very, very important way of living in the Christian life. Well, notice, if you would, please, on page 43, I'm on lesson number 9, and I make the statement here in the introduction, that there is nothing more important than knowing and doing the will of God. Now, we've been talking about the will of God. Let me put this now as a foundation of our life this evening. So here we are, and maybe I can write in here in this box the will of God. And we're going to see this evening as to what it means. Here now I trust you are, as a believer, built upon the will of God. And in order for that to be true, there has to be something going on in your life and mine. And in this ascending line that I would describe as your life and mine, we need then to write the theme of our lesson, and that is that being in the will of God means that as a characteristic, a biblical characteristic, that we live offering praise and honor and glory to God. Now, in these two passages that we've read, it's been particularly the word of our lips, praising God audibly, or praising God in the heart. Now, I was going to include in the lesson, but the lesson got unbearably long, as it does all the time. I was going to include all of those ways in the Bible whereby people did praise the Lord. Well, there were only about a half a dozen, one we've already mentioned. Praising God with our lips. We'll talk more about that next Thursday night. Certainly in the Old and the New Testament, music comes in as a very dominant way of praising the Lord. It's interesting in Ephesians 5 that this is stated as one of the ways that we manifest being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is to sing and praise and make melody in our heart to God, to sing to the Lord. I would recommend this to you if you have never utilized it in your Christian life, to use good hymns and sing to God. Not just sing, but to sing your praise to God. That's a very important way of doing it. Have you ever thought of singing your prayers to God? You certainly can. There are many, many hymns and gospel songs in which it's very correct for us to make this our prayer. A lot of prayers in the Old Testament were all in poetry. Isn't that interesting? So many of the prayers were in a poetic expression. Often we overlook the use of music in reaching out to God in praise and thanksgiving and adoration. I've mentioned to you how many times I use the hymn book when I'm on a long trip, and you know, you can't think seriously all the time. So I use the hymn book and praise the Lord with the hymn book. This has been a very great comfort to me. Many times when I'm going to preach somewhere, a part of my preparation on the way is to get in the right frame of mind by praising the Lord and using the hymn book to sing to the Lord. Well, it's been a great help in my life, and I'd recommend that you think of some of the biblical ways that I'm sure come to your mind this evening as we talk about praise, and use them in your life. Now, we all have the problem of just settling down to doing our devotions in the same way that we have for many, many years. Well, maybe it might be of help to you to alter it, to sing to the Lord, to thank Him, praise Him, and take some of the suggestions that I have in the lesson this evening and utilize them. Notice capital B. We've been considering the truth that the will of God finds its highest fulfillment in bringing glory to God. Essentially, this is how we measure our success. And we've been talking about that now all of this session. How do we know that we're living a biblical kind of a Christian life? Well, we need to ask ourselves not only whether we're doing the right thing, not only whether we're doing it by faith and love, those two are very necessary, but the third is even more necessary, to do whatever we do and do it for the glory of God, to have that as the goal, not drawing our attention to ourselves, but to Him, not having ourselves at the center of our life, but having God at the center of our life. Not always be thinking of ourselves and our problems, but thinking about the true and the living God, and have His name upon our lips, and to be able to recognize the work of God and adore Him for it. That's really the highest expression of the will of God. Would you say, from your knowledge of the Bible, that a person's in the will of God when his life doesn't reflect, as I have here on the overhead projector, praise to God? No. How can we live in the will of God and be a Christian without praise? It's a impossible. Really is. Capital C. In considering this great subject, we often find ourselves asking the question, how can I glorify God? While this has been answered to some degree in previous lessons, we now come to a very important facet of the successful Christian's daily life, and that is offering praise to God. Capital D. In regard to the glory of God, praise is the honor that we give to Him as we worship Him for who He is. The honor. The adoration and thanksgiving that we express in appreciation for His work and favor. Now, you notice both of those facets are in the scripture lesson for this evening. In Psalm 104, David was taken up with how great and good God really is. Psalm 103, he's taken up with the benefits that come to us from the true and the living God. And both of these areas, he turns now into the matter of praising and honoring God. Well, let's take a look at it now. I'm here on page 43 under Roman numeral 1. The biblical principle. Notice here in Psalm 50, verse 23, whoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Well, this is a great principle. And when we have what I have here on the board, this living like this, you know that there are a number of results that come into your life and mine. And when all of this is being produced, let me just summarize it with one word, and that is fulfillment. This is an important biblical word. God never made us to live without fulfillment. And when we understand that in our daily lives and realize the nature of the will of God, that it is the will of God for us to be fulfilled, and the way that we're often fulfilled is through praising Him. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that we praise Him so we can be fulfilled. We praise God for His glory. That's the important thing. But there are all kinds of practical benefits that come back into the life of the believer. Now, maybe before we're over in this 10-week session, I can give you a list of the things in the Bible that accompany the praise of God. I'm going to talk about a couple of them this evening. Those things that accompany God's praise. You'd be surprised. You'd understand more what I mean here by fulfillment. Now, God wants to come into your life and mine so that we can be a fulfilled and a happy kind of a person. We're never going to be that if we miss the will of God. Now, the will of God is not just doing the rules of the church. The will of God is not just living out the principles of the Bible. The will of God is much more than that. It's doing all of that for the glory of God. Well, this is a great verse. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Notice the observation. Praise is glorifying to God for many reasons. Number one, it's a correct recognition of God's worth and His merciful grace and the bestowal of His blessing. So recognition, that's a good thought now. We need to keep before us. Number two, it's a drawing of attention to the greatness and the goodness of God. So here's our second thought. We're not only recognizing the truth, how great He is, how good He is, we're drawing attention to that. We're a testimony through that. Number three, it is a giving of due honor to God. Due honor. Number four, it's a leading out in expressions of gratitude, appreciation, and spiritual applause of God's greatness and goodness. Do you know people who do that, who lead out in something like that? Well, that's a great thing. They by offering praise, it's like a spiritual form of applause to the true and the living God. It's that thought of recognition, drawing attention, giving honor, leading people to give that kind of praise. Number five, it's a stating of the truth, a correct evaluation of the work of God. Well, these five now we've seen very clearly in Psalm 103 and 104. It's all through the Bible. Every person in the Bible that is given to us by way of recommendation, they're individuals who praise the Lord in some way. We praise Him not only by how we live, but we praise Him by our word of mouth. We praise Him by our attitude of life. And certainly we ought to be leaders in praising God. Notice the comment I have on bottom of page 43. Our failure to praise God is not just a silence. It's a loud proclamation which declares something about us. Number one, it's a testimony to our lack of discernment, that we can witness the merciful and gracious work of God and be unmoved. Well, that's right. If you're the kind of a person that where praising God is foreign to you, well now, the Bible evaluates you as a person with very little discernment. I well remember a story years ago about praise and thanksgiving. It was about a man who was very unappreciative of art, and he'd been with some friends into a very famous art museum. And there was the man that was guarding the door, and he was standing at the door. And as the party was leaving, this man was talking rather loud about the fact that he felt it had been a waste of time to come and to look at these objects and pictures and portraits. It was a waste of time. And the guard said something that he shouldn't have said, but he said the truth. He said, in this museum, the visitors do not stand in judgment on the art. The art stands in judgment on the visitors. Well, when we talk about biblical praise of God, very important we realize that when we do not have biblical praise, it says something about us. It passes a judgment upon us. It indicates to us that we are a person that lives without discernment, that we live in God's world, that we live under the providence of God, that we live with His spiritual blessing upon us. We live under the pronouncement of His name. We live as a temple of God. And we live with God working everything for good in our lives. And somehow, we do not see it. And therefore, we do not praise Him. Oh, what a sad state to be in, not to praise the Lord. Notice that number two at the bottom of the page. It's a testimony to our lack of appreciation, that we can witness the merciful and gracious work of God and not be thankful. Well, I hope in your life that no day goes by but what you stop and spend time praising God, just praising Him. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting when the pastor sort of turned the tables on everybody and said, nothing can be said but praise tonight? Have you noticed how hard it is for some people to pray? You know, they're unaccustomed to do that. They can be very eloquent about of all of the things that we need, but to find something for which we should praise, no, that's a little different story. That's a sad commentary on your life and mine. We all need help in this area. That's why I've included it. If we're going to glorify God in the Bible, the matter of praising Him is a very, very important matter. Well, I want to give you some illustrations now. I'm on page 44, Roman numeral 2. Capital A, the people's response at the dedication of the temple. I've written out a few verses here from 2 Chronicles. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests couldn't enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they, number one, bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. Number two, worshiped. Number three, praise the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Notice my comment. The people were surely overwhelmed at this great display of the presence and the power of God. But it was also much more than that. The temple and what it stood for was central in the thoughts of the Israelites. When God's signal blessing rested upon this new house of God, the people saw it as a spiritual testimony. Well, this must have been a tremendous building. You remember that it took 7 years to build it. You recall that Solomon asked Hiram of Tyre, this northern kingdom where they had the forest, the cedar trees, to send logs so that they could be sawed and planed and the house that was, of course, Solomon's temple that was built of stone was overlaid, sealed on the inside with cedar paneling. It must have been a great undertaking. Solomon asked Hiram to find 10,000 men that would serve every month in cutting the trees and transporting the logs by sea. 10,000 men. We don't know. I've never seen a figure of the number of men and women working on the temple. But all of the stone was chiseled into quarry so that when it was brought, it was chiseled by blueprint. So there was no sound of the hammer and the chisel at the site. It was just there putting it together. It took 7 years to build. All the inside, at least, was covered over with gold. What a tremendous structure it must have been. But now that wasn't the important thing, although it cost probably billions of dollars just in gold. I've seen the price of being at least $3 billion for the amount of gold that David had gathered, let alone the silver and everything else and precious stones, $3 billion. Well, even before inflation. But you know, that wasn't the important thing. What was important? Notice how I have it here. Four things. They hereby recognize and praise God for his goodness and mercy in providing the sacrificial system which formed the foundation of their acceptance by God. Now, what did that temple stand for? It stood for all of the provision that God had made in the Levitical order. You only have to go back to the 25th chapter of Exodus where God said to Moses, "Let them build me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them." Verse 22 of Exodus 25, he said, "And there will I meet with them and commune with them between the cherubim." So this temple that was built then in the same proportion, undoubtedly by the will of God, as the original tabernacle, it served as the same indication, the same symbol of the fact that God dwelt among his people on the basis of the shed blood of Christ that was yet coming. And when God caused the fire to come down, and the offerings to be consumed at the dedication of Solomon's temple, the people were overwhelmed with praise and thanksgiving to God. First of all, for all that it meant as the symbol and the type of their eternal salvation. That's number one. How important that must have been. Number two, they understood that all of this was the fulfillment of the promises that God had made earlier with them. We don't have time this evening to look at these verses, but I've given you some. To look up here in Exodus 29, Leviticus 9, these indicate the fact that if they would honor God, that God's blessing would be upon them, that God would be their God and they would be his children. Now, what a tremendous promise. Now, what happened when Solomon dedicated the temple and the fire of God came and the glory of God was manifested in that Shekinah cloud that filled that lovely building? It was the fulfillment of the promise. Number three, they perceived that God's blessing upon Solomon's temple was a mighty indication of his acceptance of Solomon as king and an approval of his reign. And here I give a good passage in 2 Chronicles 7, the latter part of the chapter that we just read a few verses. How important this was to the people. Was Solomon accepted? Now, David had been through some very difficult times in the latter part of his reign. Was God going to accept David's kingdom? Was he going to accept Solomon? Was he going to accept this house? Number four. They correctly interpreted this as a reaffirmation that they were the people of God and that God had accepted and approved of their attempts to honor him. And I make the comment here. Notice how the 5 points on our first page are clearly seen in this event. Well, here's a very beautiful thing as we see it in the Bible. The building of Solomon's temple, the dedication, the prayer, and then, of course, how the glory of God was manifested. And what did the people do? I have it here on the overhead projector. They expressed the will of God. They interpreted this correctly. They gave their testimony here of praise. They evaluated it correct. They let out in thanksgiving to God. You see, now we need to understand that and make sure that praise is a part of our daily life as well. Well, capital B now, second illustration. This is Jehoshaphat's response to the threat of war and the promise of God, 2 Chronicles 21 to 22. I just have a couple verses here. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. This must have been a very terrible time in Jehoshaphat's life. Here he was a godly king, cleaned up the empire, taken care of the temple that was built at that time, and Jehoshaphat was a good man trying to do the will of God. And now here he has this terrible threat from the people surrounding the area of Palestine, a very terrible threat. Notice what he does. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. You see that? And Jehoshaphat stood and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Art not thou our God? O our God, wilt thou not judge them, that is the enemy? And then he states, our eyes are upon thee. Page 45 now. Then upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. You shall not need to fight in this battle, for the Lord will be with you. And when Jehoshaphat had consulted with the people, notice what they did. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now notice what happened. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now isn't that an unusual incident? Do you see what this really meant in the lives of these people and in the life of Jehoshaphat? I've written it out. The observation, this response by Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel was a great testimony. Number one, it was their affirmation of faith in God. This was the proof that they believed God and totally accepted his promise at face value. Now, let's go back and stand in the sandals of these dear people. A person could say, well, this is kind of a risky thing to do, isn't it? Let's make sure that at least we have a few bazookas out there, you know. You mean we're just going to go out and praise the Lord? You know? Well, these people are warriors. We could lose the whole thing. Oh, no. Not at all. It was an expression of the will of God. It was a recognition of the greatness and the goodness of God. It was a testimony of faith. Now, that's not so foreign from your life and mine when we're having trouble. When things are not going well, and we affirm that Romans 8:28 is going to work, and we believe it, and we praise the Lord for it. You see, we're standing right in line with Jehoshaphat and his people. Second thought, it was their recognition of the greatness of God. All their actions were based on how great and good God really is. Well, naturally, believing in God's sovereign power, that he would vindicate himself. Thirdly, it was their declaration that they were the people of God and that God would vindicate his promises which he had made to them. Well, now, it's very easy for us to sit here. We're not at war. And very easy for us to read this in the Bible now and say, well, that was exactly the thing to do. Now, we need to apply that in our lives tonight in relationship to some of the problems that we're facing. To believe God. To be willing to address ourselves by faith to the circumstance, to recognize his greatness, to declare that we are the people of God, and to trust him for his vindication. Well, I have a comment here in the middle of page 45. These great events in the Old Testament are a testimony to us of the greatness of God, his goodness, his faithfulness. They're also a testimony to us of how we should respond, pray, live, and glorify God. Well, you understand, I'm sure, how this works out in your life and mine. We need to put it into practice. We need now to give God the glory because he's worthy of it. Well, number three. So we have the biblical explanation. First of all, what has God ordained for his praise and his honor? Well, as you know, reading through the Bible, you find there are many, many things where the word glorious is used in relationship with that. Let me just give you a little sample here. Number one, God is to be praised for his glorious name. Notice the statement. If thou wilt not observe to do all of the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. So here's where we need to begin. To fear him. The next verse. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. There's the word. Praise thy glorious name. The next one. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The observation, the name of God stands for all that he is. All his greatness, goodness, the moral excellence of all of his perfection. He has revealed himself to us so that he would be praised, and he is worthy of all such adoration, honor, and glory. Now this would be a great study in itself, just to talk about the name of God. The names of God in the Old and the New Testament, the things that accompany the names of God. Think of all of the way that we utilize the name of God. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we became a believer, we believed upon his name, according to John 1:12. We live according to his name. We baptize people in the name of the Lord. We understand that the coming judgment will have to do with bowing and acknowledging the meaning of the name of God. Well, to praise the Lord for his name is a very biblical characteristic of the sincere Christian. Notice on page 46, number two, another sample. He is to be praised for his glorious power. Notice the verses. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemies. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Many verses like that. The observation. The power of God speaks of God acting for and within his own. It is a display of his omnipotence, like it was with Jehoshaphat. The various attributes of God are seen in his powerful intervention, as well as his will, his approval, his instruction, and his judgment. Think of all of the verses in the Bible. Again, this would be a great study to talk about the verses that reflect the power of God. All of the times in the Bible when God speaks of himself as being able. Well, now, you know 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Again, Ephesians 4:30, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, here it is, the power that worketh in us. Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. About salvation, Hebrews 7:25, now unto him that is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. There are dozens of verses where God describes himself to his people for our comfort and instruction, so we would praise him. He describes himself as being able. This is his glorious power. Now, we have no way of describing how great God really is. As I mentioned in another lesson earlier in this series, he asked us to take a look at creation and to see how great it is, and then to realize how great he is because he made it all. Well, there's no way that we can really tell how great he is. It ought to be our praise day by day to thank him for his glorious power. Number three, God is to be praised for his glorious gospel, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So here it is, glorious gospel of Christ. Next verse, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, Paul's testimony. observation. The gospel is called glorious in that its every facet proclaims the greatness and the goodness of God. To most of us, this is most clear in the evident change the gospel has brought into our lives when we repented and believed the gospel. Now, I take for granted that most of us here in the auditorium are believers tonight. I'd be surprised if there were more than a few here. I wish I could talk with you that are not about the gospel. I'm glad that every once in a while we have a person talk with me at the door and we go into a room and a person becomes a believer through the Thursday night Bible class. I'm glad for that. Well, now all of us, now we could stop and we could go up and down the road and all of us here could talk about the day when we understood the gospel and we believed. And the power of God came into our lives. And we could tell now, in the midst of all of our problems and difficulties, the manifestation of the glory of God. You know what we would be doing by making that kind of a testimony? We would be offering praise to God. Now, that's what we need to do. We need to praise Him for His name, who He is, for His great power, what He does, for His great gospel, His provision in our daily lives. Number four, God is to be praised for His glorious appearing. Notice these verses. Then the moon shall be confounded, the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before His ancients. Now, how is He going to reign? Gloriously. You see that? Next verse. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Observation. What an overwhelming thought. Jesus Christ has promised to return. His reign on earth will have implications related to economics, politics, and long list of things like that. His return will demonstrate His faithfulness, His will for mankind, His goodness and His power. Now, this is something that's yet future. What a great day that's going to be. Now, we need to be people who expect the Lord's return when these events will come to pass. And here we are sort of pre-enrolled by the grace of God into God's kingdom that's going to have manifestation here upon earth. And what a great thing and what a comfort that is to understand that. Number five, there are many other areas ordained of God for His praise. The following is a partial list in addition to the four enumerated above. For example, His glorious holiness, His glorious throne, page 47. His glorious voice, this is His expression of judgment and of approval in the Bible, the voice of God. D, His glorious liberty, that is the liberty in the lives of the people of God. His glorious church, isn't that great? His glorious body, that should be chapter 3, verse 21, instead of 5:21. His glorious body, that's the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus. And then G, His glorious work of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Well, all through the Bible, we have the word glorious used, and it's used as an indication of how we should approach this matter of living, as I have here on the screen. Living in such a way that our life is characterized by praise for God. Notice capital D. How are we to praise and glorify God? First of all, we're to praise God for His protection and His guidance. Here's a sample again. Genesis 24:27, and Abraham's servant said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of His mercy and truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Now you know about the servant, Abraham's servant, that went way up into Syria to try to find the relatives of Abraham so that he could find a wife for Isaac. He didn't have the freeway. He didn't have the road map. Just to go off in that general direction, hoping that he'd find the right family, especially when the families were moving around. That wouldn't be the easiest task in the world. When he came there and found the right family, this is what he said. He thanked God and praised the Lord for His guidance and for His protection. There's not a person here in the auditorium. All of us, we need to thank the Lord for the way that He cares for us and watches over us. We're almost blind to how He does this. It's going to be one of the great surprises when we step from this life into eternity, to be able to look back and see all the ways that the Lord's protected and cared for. Why, he's kept us alive. He's avoided things. He's done everything. And most of us are just very blind to it. We need to praise him for this very important expression of his mercy and goodness in our lives. Number two, we're to praise God for our personal deliverance, Psalm 28. Blessed be the Lord, because, here it is, he hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Well, here now is a person who would sing to the Lord and thank him for answered prayer. What a terrible thing it is when we pray and we don't even expect God to answer. Have you ever praised him for the answer before God gave you the answer? Well, if we've prayed with sincerity in the will of God, we know that the Lord's going to answer in some way. And we need to stop and praise him for it. Praise him for the promise. Praise him for the answer. Give your testimony like Jehoshaphat did and the people of Israel, that when they went out to battle, they went out to observe God's deliverance in which they wouldn't have to fight. What did they do? They praised God that the battle was already over before it was over. We need to think about that and think about praising the Lord for the answers that we know that he's going to give us. The psalmist did. Number four. Well, let me talk here about answered prayer with Daniel. Number three, we are to praise God for answered prayer in Daniel in chapter 2. Then was the secret. Do you remember that was that important dream? The secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Daniel blessed or praised the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. Now, Daniel, if you remember the story, was in a very hard spot. You know, the king was going to just wipe all of these people out. And Daniel needed a word from God. He needed to know how to interpret the dream. And the Lord told him. The Lord enabled him to understand it at night. And he's able to interpret the dream of the king. Well, again, that's very easy for us now to sit in this nice auditorium where we're not caught in a terrible situation like that and say, well, the Lord does answer prayer. This must have been a great time of rejoicing for David, for Daniel, when he lived through it. Number four, we are to praise God for his loving care. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, blessed or praised be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Well, do you see how the Lord wants to comfort us and minister to us so that through our lives we can reach out and comfort other people? He wants that comfort to be an experience in our daily life. Now, I have a real deep conviction that one of the reasons why Christianity in the lives of so many of us is so non-experiential is just all the knowledge of doctrine, the catechism, and the actions of going to church, and so little of emotional satisfaction and the feelings of comfort and the experience of God's care. It's so little of that because we do not experientially enter into it. We don't spend time praising the Lord, singing to him, getting involved in doing what is important to God. Now, if you've been lacking in your life of a deep experiential involvement in the things of God that have to do with your emotion, don't forget that some of the facets of the fruit of the Spirit have to do with the emotions, love and joy and peace. Well, if you lack that, then get involved by faith in praising the Lord and carry out the recommendation I'm going to be talking to you about for a moment or two and see what will happen in your life. You'll start to appreciate the things of God far more than you do. Notice at the bottom of the page, number five, we are to praise God for his merciful provision. In Ephesians 1:3, blessed be or praised be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are spiritual multimillionaires. And we don't understand that. We don't realize what we have in Christ. And one reason I believe, as I have on the overhead projector, We manifest the will of God so poorly because our lives are not characterized by praise. We're not cognizant of the greatness of God simply because we're not involved in doing the will of God and praising Him. Well, His merciful provision. Number 5, at the bottom of the page, we are to praise God for His mercy in the new birth. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be, or praise be, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us, that's the new birth, begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a glorious thing that is. And we should praise Him for the new birth. Praise Him for the time when He brought us to Himself and all of the manifestations of that and all of the benefits of it in our daily lives. Well, this is again a very brief sample. I'm going to page 48, number 4, the fourth point now. What's the biblical exhortation in the Bible? It's found in Psalm 107. And here 4 times in the psalm we have the statement, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now I take this and utilize it as a sample of literally dozens and dozens and probably about 100 exhortations in the Old and the New Testament where God pleads with us to get involved in this most important manifestation of the will of God. To be able to use the ability that He's given us when He made us a believer. He's given us the ability to worship Him, to praise Him, to thank Him. And for many of us, we've never learned how to do that. And because of that, we're living without a great deal of fulfillment in our daily life. Well, it's too bad when we live like that. I want to put another a statement on the overhead projector that might be of help to us this evening. How should we write this? Why does the Lord say, oh, that men would praise the Lord? Why does He say that? Well, let's start here with the most important facet of the true, the living God and His glory. So let me just make this very, very simple. Here you are now living your daily life. This is your daily life, this ascending line. And you know what I'm going to write here. What do other people see as they observe your life? What's the content that they see as they look upon your daily life? What's the character, the content, the description of your daily life? Well, this is the exhortation that God gives to every one of His people. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. I would urge that you do this by faith. Try it for a few days. It'll cure you of a lot of bad things. It'll keep your mind off your problems, and all of us have problems. It'll enable you now to open your heart up to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It'll enable you to express the will of God in a far deeper way, perhaps, than you have in the past. It enables us to put down our feelings of depression and discouragement and to live according to the truth when we praise God for His goodness and His mercy. Notice the observation I have under number 4, page 48. This exhortation is stated 4 times in the psalm. It's the recommended response to a number of difficult situations in which God revealed Himself and brought deliverance. All of this is presented to us to remind us of the value and in the importance of praising God. And we must accept this biblical injunction and carry it out in our daily lives. Well, this is God's exhortation in your life and mine. We need to accept it now as a very, very important thing and not live our daily lives violating the exhortation. Notice my concluding recommendation. We need to praise God for Himself, His greatness, perfections, and His goodness. We need to praise God for His attributes. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. He's the truth, love, and holiness. He's eternal. And in all of this and more, He is infinite and absolute. Just think of that. Think how great He is. Capital C, praise God for His names. He's the Lord of hosts, the God of the whole earth, the governor of all the nations, the first and the last, the faithful witness, the everlasting Father, the author and finisher of our faith. Right now in one of my classes, I'm asking the students to write a little term paper on all of the names of God. It happens every year. They say, all of them? After they start looking into the library, they say, can't I just use a copy machine? No, you got to type it out. All of them? You know? Yeah, it takes about 6 or 7 pages just to list the names of God. Why has he done this? So that we can praise him. He's trying to tell us something. He's trying to break into our lack of discernment, and he's trying to tell us how great he really is. We need to praise him for his creation, his provision, his promises, his protection, his presence, his salvation, his church, his servants, his blessing. And you can go on for page after page. Now, why am I asking you to do this? I'd like you to do it tomorrow. I really would. I'd like you to do it tomorrow. Now, all of us have times during the day when our mind is sort of in neutral. You know, like driving to work, washing dishes, combing our hair, shaving. You know, your mind is sort of in neutral in a time like that. Every time your mind is in neutral tomorrow, I'd like you to stop and think of my list and praise God. Think of some of his attributes. Praise him because he's infinite in love, absolute in truth. Praise him for all of his moral excellencies. Praise him for his name. Praise him for his creation, his blessing. Praise him for the prayers that you've already asked for. Well, there's no end to what we can do. If we're living without praise, people are seeing us. They're looking at our lives, but they're not really seeing the grace of God, nor the will of God wrought out in our life the way it should be. Now, I'm giving you a very important secret here this evening. And some of you say, well, I'd like to praise the Lord, but I just don't feel like it. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. He's worthy of being praised whether you feel like it or not. Now, that's the problem. Let's do it in spite of our feelings. Well, may the Lord help us to understand it. Let's bow together now in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we're comforted this evening in the realization that you've been here to help us with these verses. Write them, we pray, upon the table of our heart. Help us to be able to put these exhortations into practice. Deliver us now from being a Christian that lives without praise. Watch over us as we go to our homes. Lift up thyself in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for this lesson in our series, The Biblical Measure of Success. We would encourage you to listen to each of the lessons in this series, as well as the other topics that are available on the website at www.drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org.